हरिः ॐ सहनवावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 48, chapter 6, Tasting the Sublime Nature of Relationships with the Lord. Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Prigat, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.6, 39-40. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the bestower of many benedictions, including liberation, kaivalya, or oneness with the Brahman effulgence. For that personality of Godhead, the gopis always felt maternal love, and Krishna sucked their breasts with full satisfaction. Therefore, because of their relationship as mother and son, although the gopis were engaged in various family activities, one should never think that they returned to this material world after leaving their bodies. Right, so it's beyond, right? Because those who are interested in liberation, then they don't have this position. Krishna awards it, but what he's awarding is less than what we see these elder gopis are having. Right? Their position, then, even though it appears that they're engaged in family and household activities, they're transcendental to the whole thing. Right? So that's the effect of relationship with Krishna. It takes you beyond, you know, whatever is offered on the material platform. Yes.
It was mentioned previously that once the relationship is established, it never changes. Is it true also for material relationship?
Meaning, what do you mean by...
Means sthayi never changes. Once we got the sthayi, it never changes.
Yeah, but I mean the spiritual one I understand. I don't understand the material one.
Material, you know, we establish relationship with somebody, and then that's it. Till the end of this life, that's what it is.
Generally, it might transform, but generally, that's where it goes. You just have to see what's the nature of that combination of the universal form where it's supposed to go. You know, in other words, you have the pious development of it. You can also have impious. You know, like friends become enemies or, you know, things like that. So, but the natural course is once in the relationship is established, means you see the tradition, at least in India, that's then how it is. So if you have a relationship with somebody, like they're senior to you, no matter what happens to you, you get older and this and that, it's still the same relationship. Even if you end up in a position superior to theirs, you'll still personally deal with them as their senior. At least that's how it's done in India. You know, within Punya Bhumi. But, you know, outside I can't say. But
yeah.
Like that. Because, you know, we hear about always, I think it was the Mongols, you know, that the father's there and then the son, and the father's the king, and he's not about to give up the kingdom. So when the son gets big enough and gets powerful enough, he just puts his father under house arrest. That's the difference. The Turks, they don't kill their father. They just put him in house arrest. So he has a nice apartment, all facilities, you know. So his personal lifestyle doesn't change. Just the son takes over and, you know, he's the king. So all that I know of, all six of the Mongol emperors, that's what happened to all of them. Like that.
Vanaprastha life,
huh? Yeah, forced Vanaprastha life. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're offered either. I mean, it's, you know, it's Vanaprastha or liberation. You know, so we're not counting that kind of thing, what may be you know, regional. But the standard is whatever relationship is established, that's what it is. Is that, yeah. You know, okay, yes.
Also, I remember in Mahabharata, Arjuna refused to marry this daughter of the king because he said that she's like my daughter because I was her teacher or something.
Yes, and also Urvasi.
Mm-hmm.
Because Urvasi is in the line, you know, many generations back as the queen, so therefore that king is superior, so she's like a mother. You know, a grand, like that kind of thing. So she was a bit disappointed. And then, yeah, exactly, because then as in Virat's kingdom, right. When he was teaching the king's daughter dance and singing, then when he offered to marry, he says, no, she's like a daughter, so you can marry my son. Yeah.
It's
Uttara. Uttara. Uttara, yeah. Yeah. So she married Abhimanyu as the mother of Vrikin. Yeah. Yeah. So she basically opens after Vyasadeva's realization, after discussing with Narad Muni, basically when it opens the pastimes, it's her, you know, and so you see a Poshanam is the first thing that comes up, you know, because if you're going to surrender, then you want to know you'll be protected, so therefore Poshanam is the first thing that's given. What's that? Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikit. Right? So, in other words, we see is that the relationship with Krishna and that, it's beyond, the taste of it's beyond liberation. Because they're so absorbed that even though they're in household life, it doesn't affect their absorption in Krishna. They're on that transcendental platform. While we see these others who strive for liberation, then they can't function in these kind of positions. Right? Though it is, okay, a relationship with the Lord, but it's not the personal relationship.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So therefore it doesn't, it can't function in that personal environment. Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj Parikit, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.11.58. In this way, all the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great transcendental pleasure, and they could not even perceive material tribulations. Right, so you don't even notice the material. If you're absorbed in Krishna, the material just doesn't even exist for you. Kunti Devi to Sri Krishna, 1.8.31. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflowed with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Right, so, yeah, so here is fear personified is afraid of Krishna. He does his duties, right? Like that. But here, Krishna, then being afraid of Mother Yashoda, like that, then he's acting in this way. So that's the whole point, is the relation, that sublime nature of the relationship. Gopis to Uddhava, 10.46.18. Does Krishna remember us? Does he remember his mother and his friends and well-wishers? Does he remember the cowherds and their village of Braja, of which he is the master? Does he remember the cows, Vrindavan forest, and Govardhan hill? Right, so all these things would be, they're doubting, because this here is just mother, friends, cowherds, village, cows. You know, he's a big king.
Yes, yes.
You know? So on the material platform, one wouldn't worry about that. But why is Uddhava coming? Because Krishna is always thinking of them. Right? Because it's the devotion. Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikit. Uddhava then joyfully addressed Nanda Maharaj. Having clearly seen the supreme loving attraction he and Yashoda felt for Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. Right? So remember, in this pastime, when he came, because of their separation, first he tried to show his greatness, his glory, bringing out these other aspects, or just, you know, his position, that Brahman and Paramatma aspects. But it didn't affect their devotion at all, because he knows if he did that in Dwarka, it would switch the mood. And because of switching the mood, they'd give up that lamentation.
Mm-hmm.
But with them, it didn't. So that's why he can see, is their supreme loving attraction. So it's that absorption, then it goes beyond all other things.
Yes.
Okay. Narada Muni thought, it is quite amazing that in a single body, Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women, each in a separate palace. You know, he's just thinking, what wonderful pastimes the Lord is there. So he'll look at it from that aspect of majesty, because we have, remember, he's a Vaikuntha devotee, you know, in this manifestation. But it's still, he's amazed by that sweetness and that charm and all that of how he does it. Because it's not, it's just, how do you say? You know, the husband's at home with the wife. Right? And so in that simple way, that's how he accomplishes it. He's just at home with each of his wives. Mm-hmm. Right? There's no other, you know, seemingly, you know, mystic aspect to it. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just, he's there. By his mystic potencies, he does that. But he solves the problem mm-hmm. as a human being. You know, like lifting Govardhan Hill. It's raining. You put an umbrella. You know, he could have just by his will. There's, you know, the clouds can't rain, or yes. they'll go rain on Indra, or you know something.
Yes.
But they don't. He just puts up an umbrella.
Yes.
So that's always appreciating how he, within his greatness, how he does these sweetness of these pastimes. And so he's able to appreciate. So you can say, of the Vaikuntha devotees, he's the one that he can appreciate all the realms. Right? So in this aspect, from that Shantaras, he appreciates everything.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, because we see it appears that the different places that Narada Muni is a unique character, that he's in all the rasas.
Yes.
Right? But he has different forms for all of them. Like that. So he's one of the few that you connect them. Right? The others, generally, they keep it. Mother Jashoda, and then you see as Sachimanta, they keep the same kind of mood. But with him, he goes through all those. Like his Madhu Mangal, then the Shakira, then like this. Is that?
Yes.
Yes? No?
Yes.
Kind of yes. Nagapatnis to Sri Krishna. No? Okay, it's just a matter of how far the month is. Yeah. Nagapatnis to Sri Krishna. O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya has attained this great opportunity of being touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows. Right, so they're impressed how he got such mercy. Right, because he could have just killed him like all the other demons, but instead, then he purifies him, and then he becomes a nice devotee. Uddhava's song to the gopis. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of world women who are very beautiful according to material estimation. Mm-hmm. So just that specialness that is there, that uniqueness, because of that surrender, it creates that closeness with Krishna. And then we see as it goes down less. So that means here he's with the gopis and they get embraced by him, while the queens at Dwarka, except for Rukmini, none of the others have that favor.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the heavenly planets, then they can't even imagine such thing. And they have such qualification, let alone those who are here.
Yes.
It just wouldn't even come up as a thought.
Yes.
Right? So that's the whole idea, is that on these, it's just that specialness that Krishna has.
So Maharaj, at our level, we can try to just appreciate all these pastimes.
Yes, yes.
Without
we appreciate these pastimes, and we... how you say, following the footsteps of these devotees, that they're surrendered to Krishna.
Yes, yes.
The detail of it, we don't. That's the hajjas.
Yes.
But that surrender, that complete surrender of the... means everybody, we see even Bhishma Dev and others, they all appreciate the gopis for the level of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when Bhishma Dev is talking about the glories of the gopis, because of their surrender to Krishna, that can be appreciated by anyone. Right? We're taking it that it's the secondary aspects of their rasa. But it's that surrender. It's 100%. So devotees, because they're transcendental, they know their position. And so they can appreciate when someone's more advanced. And so then he being a man of Vaikuntha, then he can appreciate their position. Like that. So it makes sense. So one we see is the appreciation of Krishna himself when he comes into Mathura, how everybody is attracted and everybody has that affection. But of that, then the greatest affection is being shown to the gopis. So that kind of aspect, he's appreciating that. And so that's the aspect, is that we can see that and appreciate that and strive for that kind of surrender. It means completely free from karma, gone. And so that we can strive for, but it's not that we're imagining ourselves embracing Krishna. That's the sahajiyas, they do that. It's cheap, because why would he want to embrace us? You know what I'm saying? It's like, So that's the point, is that if we're thinking of it on the bodily platform, then there's no. That's why it brings out here, is that you have the transcendental gopis and the other consorts of the spiritual, how qualified. Then the heavenly planets, how qualified they are. Less than that. And then we have those who are here. Right? So by our calculation, then the women here are beautiful. Right? But there's more qualification in the heavenly planets, and then even more in the spiritual world. But that beauty isn't what's attracting Krishna. Right here, the heavenly planets, their luster is like the lotus flower, and their fragrance is like the lotus flower. Right? So that's not attractive to Krishna. It's the devotion. So of all, the gopis are the one that has the devotion, because all the gopis, doesn't say some gopis, it says the gopis. The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members, who are very difficult to give up. And they have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of the lotus feet. I repeatedly offer my respects to the dust from the feet of the women of Nandamaraj's cowherd village, when these gopis loudly chant the glories of Sri Krishna. The vibration purifies the three worlds. So that depth, then all other devotees become purified by, hearing of their position. Cowherd men of Braja to Uddhava. Nanda and the other cowherds said, "May our mental functions always take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. May our words always chant his names, and may our bodies always bow down to him and serve him." Uddhava's song to the gopis. Among all persons on earth, these coward women alone have actually perfected their embodied lives, for they have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Lord Govinda. Their pure love is hankered after by those who fear material existence, by great sages, and by ourselves as well. For one who has tasted the narrations of the Infinite Lord, what is the use of taking birth as a high-class Brahman, or even as Lord Brahma himself? And so, their pure love, so that's what's hankered after. That quality of love, it's not the secondary form that it's being addressed through, or expressed through, right? It's that pure love itself. Hankering for that, then coming to that transcendental platform, then our natural position, whatever that is, that will then come out as our method of expressing that pure love. So, and we can take it for, that if someone says is a high-class Brahmin, this and that. Now, Uddhava is a high-class Brahmin, right? So then he can make this point, and we should take it as authority. Brahma to Sri Krishna. O Almighty Lord, how greatly fortunate are the cows and ladies of Vrindavan, the nectar of whose breast milk you have happily drunk to your full satisfaction, taking the form of their calves and children. All the Vedic sacrifices performed from time immemorial up to the present day have not given you as much satisfaction. Right? So that affection that they have, that's what's important to him. Right? And then the medium through which that's offered, then it's accepted in that position. What we see here is that all the Vedic sacrifices from time immemorial up to the present day. Right? So even if we're taking it just his lifetime, it's 151 trillion years of sacrifices. But he says time immemorial. That means the unlimited lifetimes of Brahma. And still, it has not given much satisfaction. It doesn't as much.
Yes.
It never will.
Yes.
Like that. So that's the whole point, is that personal interaction gives much more. Right? We use these other things as the medium for expressing that, but it's not that it itself is what is giving. Does that make sense? So we have to make the switch from it's the secondary that's important to the primary that's important. The devotion is there, then these things are done. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj does a sacrifice, Krishna is very satisfied because it's about pure devotion. But, you know, all these other aspects, it's not. Yes?
Can you say that one should be willing to do all the, to go through the troubles, to do all the secondaries?
Means you have to. Means otherwise, what means is Mother Jashoda not cooking for Krishna? She's cooking. She's doing all these things. The point is it's not that the secondary is the prominent. Means it may be for us, but we should accept that it ultimately is not. You know, so we have to give up on the idea that my secondary is good. Yeah, it's what you use. It's perfect for you. But don't try to say it's the best. It's, you know, it's as good as everybody else's. Because that gives rise then to, that's okay. Then we're saying, okay, I'm following all the Vedic rules nicely. Right? And that's what's pleasing Krishna. But now, for someone from that background, they'll speak like that. What if someone's not from that background? You know, then it's my, you know, following whatever I do, however I like, that's pleasing Krishna. You know, then it becomes speculative. You know, at least one's pious. You know, so that's the thing, is that this principle that the second is the prominent element has to be seen, that it's limited in its usage. Right? It only has validity in its connection to the primary. But to give it validity on its own, that's not important. Otherwise, then we see morality becomes important. So morality, if we're theistic, means we accept what the Veda says. What to do, what not to do. And we take that as more important than the worship, of the devotion. Right? Means the quality of your morality, that's the quality of your devotion. But then, if you're not from a theistic moral background, you're from an atheistic moralistic background, then that means moralism is how you call it. What you say is moral is, and what you say is not isn't. And so then again we take it that no, it's all about, you know, how the what people are doing and this and that. And so then it drops below, already it's not the standard, and then it drops below the not the standard. You know, it becomes useless. You know, and then from that it can go into atheistic immorality, where you just do whatever you like, and it don't care if it's, sorry.
Yeah, Prabhupada gives the example of the thieves who steal something and then they try to divide it among themselves morally.
Yes. That's the problem. And they get upset that you're not being fair. You know? I say yes.
At what point in a relationship general becomes personal, if at all?
Depends if you're looking at it from karma yoga or jnana yoga. Means Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out is that that intimacy is where you make the difference.
Yeah.
Because like working with someone, being in the same place with them, doing things together with them, that's not what we call association.
Right.
Association is where there's the, you know, you have that, share that values, where that closeness and all that, that personal kind of closeness.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? The emotional. That's then where it becomes association. So that's what you have to be very careful. When it says don't associate with materialists, that's what it means. It doesn't mean that, you know, don't go to work. Yeah. So that's the whole point. Is that we have to We have to know that is what has to be done to do the service, do the activity and all that. Then that's the way we deal properly with anybody. So we prefer to do that in the association of devotees. You know, I mean, the contact of devotees. But, you know, if those things have to be done in the, you know, in contact with the non-devotees, then that still works. But who are going to be close with and share our values, reveal the mind, all these things, that's with those who are, you know, as far as we appreciate, are more advanced than us. So that, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that okay? Okay. Ladies of Mathura, what austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. Yes, yeah, so they're even Mathura, they're appreciating the position that those devotees, but the medium that the ladies of Mathura, that's their rasa, that's where they, but it doesn't mean you can't appreciate someone else.
Yes.
So, does that make sense? That's the whole point is, if we look at it from the social thing, if something's better, no, we have to be doing that. But actually, if we're personal, then it's just a matter we do what we like, and others do what they like. And if it happens to be better, that's fine. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, someone really likes playing miniature golf. Right? But it doesn't mean that they don't appreciate that those who play actual, you know, professional golf on the, you know, the big 18-hole courses and all that aren't in a superior position in technique and all that. Just, you like miniature golf. Does that make sense? You can appreciate, but it's not that you have to do it. So that's the thing. You have what you work with and others have theirs.
So one is self-satisfied in one's own rasa.
Yes, one's self-satisfied in one's own rasa. Because it's you. That's the whole point. So it's not a problem. There's no anxiety. Yes. But, kintu.
It's interesting that when Krishna left for Mathura, then gopis, actually, more or less in the same manner, they glorify
yes.
the Mathura's women, because now they get the association, so they glorify them, how fortunate they are.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
It's going both ways.
Yeah, and also, well, they're more sophisticated, and all this and that, you know.
We have village girls, they're city ladies.
Yeah, yeah, we're village girls, they're city ladies. You know, it's like somebody, one city girl pointed out that to a village boy, he says that, no, it was after. Yeah. No, some city boys were pointing out to a village boy after he interacted with a city girl. Right? In the village, the girls, when they say no, there's only a few ways they say no. Says, but he was talking about in Paris, they have 1,000 ways to say no, and only a few of them mean yes. Well, the village girls, they say no in a few ways, and, you know, probably most of them mean yes, but, you know, a few mean no. But slightly different.
Yeah.
Too esoteric?
Yes.
Well, you have to speak to
I'm not from Paris.
You're
I'm
not
from a village.
You're from the province.
Yeah, it's a big problem. Huh? It's like any other city in the world.
Yeah, yeah. That's another thing. But he's taking the humble position. He's a devotee. Otherwise, yeah.
And he's not a lady.
No? Okay. Does that work? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. The ladies of Braja are the most fortunate... who's this speaking? Oh, no, it's a continuation of the ladies of Mathura. The ladies of Braja are the most fortunate women because with their minds fully attached to Krishna and their throats always choked up with tears, they constantly sing about him while milking the cows, winnowing grain, churning butter, gathering cow dung for fuel, riding on swings, taking care of the crying babies, sprinkling the ground with water, cleaning the houses, and so on. By their exalted Krishna consciousness, they automatically acquire all desirable things. Right? So even there, we see is that the gopis are mentioning just that they're sophisticated and this and that, because naturally, why wouldn't Krishna want to be with the more sophisticated girls? But here, the ladies of Mathura are pointing out is it doesn't matter what they're doing, they're always absorbed. So in that way, it's appreciated that it's... When the gopis hear Krishna playing his flute as he leaves Braja in the morning with his cows or returns with them at sunset, young girls quickly come out of their houses to see him. They must have performed many pious activities to be able to see him as he walks on the road, his smiling face mercifully glancing upon them. And so everybody knows what's going on. So, and amazingly, without Instagram or Facebook, they know all these things. They've never been to Braj, but they know. You're doubting. How do they know? Yes.
Maharaj, it seems like Krishna can be conquered by love.
Yeah. You need something, sir?
I've been taking a walk.
Oh, okay. You come to check if we're making more bricks for the wall here, or if we're actually functioning outside
of
bricks
in the wall.
Yeah. 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 No, it came out good.
Quite hard on inside.
Yeah, inside is down. Outside is normal, but inside because the gardens will go up and we'll. The gardens will go up. It's lower here than outside.
Okay. I'll check your phone.
Okay. Sutta Goswami to Shonaka Rishi.
She had a question.
She had a Rishi. No, she had a question. Okay. Somebody had a Rishi. Okay.
That Krishna can be conquered by love, so it's something like it's bigger than him?
I mean, he sees it that way. But the point is he is Ananda, right? So it's natural he'll function in that position. So the Ananda being higher than Sat and Chit, right? Then the Ananda is the aspect. So that Ananda that depends more on Sat and Chit will be less, means, how you say, perfect in its Anandaness than that which has no dependency on Sat and Chit. No? Anybody?
That's the Vaikuntha level.
Okay.
That's Vaikuntha, right? Where they depend on.
Yes, more, yes. Mm-hmm. It's his own inherent nature. So he's just tasting his own nature because he is rasa. But the point is that Krishna being the, you know, the perfection of, you know, anything, everything, then his absorption in that rasa, even though it's coming from him, it's still amazing. You know, so like in Dwarka, I think he's in Dwarka, it's the pastime in Dwarka, where he's sitting on the floor, and because the floor is so nicely polished, you know, it's like, I guess, beyond granite polish, you know, like that. He can see his reflection in the mirror, and he's so attractive. He's so beautiful, right? Because he is the source of beauty. Does that make sense? So he's interacting with himself. It's the natural position. But at the same time, as he is conscious, then all these aspects, parts of himself, are individually conscious. And so therefore, interacting, then that taste that is there, that rasa is there. Does that make sense? Because it's an aspect, that's why it has to be in connection with Krishna. Because you have qualities of Krishna, and they're attractive, they're nice, they're like this. So when those are engaged, connected to Krishna, then Krishna is able to, it has that Krishna in them, and so it's attractive to him. But if you try to deal with those separate from him, then it doesn't have that aspect of Ananda in it. Right? Because his pleasure is in Hladini. Not in Sambit Sandini. Their support, their servants of Hladini. Right? So when they're connected, then they take on that quality. It's like iron and fire. So it's not even just for jivas, it's even for the other energies. When they're in the fire of the bhakti of the Hladini, then they take on that quality. Yeah, no, the thermos doesn't come with the chair. Sorry. Like maybe next year. Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Yeah. So, going to these classes? Yeah, yeah, they're pretty good. Like that. Well, we're going to those classes. Yeah, that is good. We got thermoses. Yeah, we get chairs. Yeah, we get chairs also. We get thermoses. Oh. Does that make sense? Okay. No? Okay. Sutta Goswami Dishonakarisi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, out of His causeless mercy, appeared on this planet by His internal potency, and enjoying Himself amongst competent women as if He were engaged in mundane affairs. Although the Queen's beautiful smiles and furtive glances were all spotless and exciting, and all that they could conquer Cupid Himself by making Him give up His bow in frustration, and although even the tolerant Shiva could fall victim to them, still, despite all their magical feats and attractions, they could not agitate the senses of the Lord. Sorry, magical feats and attractions. Yeah. So, that's not, because those are all the secondary. Those are the medium through which they express. So that's not what is attractive, because it has the bhakti. That's what's Krishna. That's what makes it work. Therefore, the rasa is there. When Krishna is involved, then you actually have rasa. When Krishna is not, then you just have just the functioning of the senses and whatever you get from that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Not so much.
Yeah, not so much. You know, it's just like, let us say there's some food that you really like, you know? And, you know, it's you can look at it, you can touch it, you can smell it, but you can't eat it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, you get something from the other, you know? So does that make sense? You know? But so that's the whole point. Is the secondary is the medium. So, yeah?
Sometimes my...
It's like toast. It's the medium for butter. Right? You see little kids, they can eat butter on its own.
Krishna is doing that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, dry toast on its own, not so easy. No. I mean, it has some... yes, you get some effect from it, but... Yeah. Does that work?
Dryness.
Finally, we found an example.
We have to say, it's not a peanut butter.
Yes, it's not peanut butter. That gets stuck in your throat. Peanut butter is overrated. Right? And like, what is this going to show? I say, no, we won't get into that. But what is this? What the Indonesians have figured out how to use that. Mm-hmm. they use it to make sauces.
Yeah.
Like that. So you get the flavor, but you don't get the dryness that it sticks in your throat.
Sorry?
Ah, yes. Yeah, always, yeah, it always comes up in there. Yeah, something about it, because I was telling Bob about something on some technicality of some recipe. And then I figured out that I had thought that up and it wasn't a codicil. So even if it's not a codicil, you still think about it, what, you know, what to eat on a codicil, because a codicil is all about what you're eating, right? Right? The other days you eat whatever comes along, but a codicil you plan, right? Yeah, so I thought that was kind of funny. It says, yeah, it wasn't even a codicil when I dreamed that up. Okay. Sukadev Goswami Maharaj, Prickett. It was now late in the afternoon, and Lord Krishna, accompanied by Balaram, turned the cows back towards home, playing his flute in a very special way. Krishna returned to the cowherd village in the company of his cowherd friends, who chanted his glories. The young gopis took the greatest pleasure in seeing Govinda come home, since for them even a moment without his association seemed like a hundred ages. Right, so when we say here age, we mean like Satyug, Treta, this kind of age. Like that. We don't mean, you know, just it's been a while. Notice that here, it's just that taste, right? So we see this is different from the other chapters. But when it came into this chapter, it opened basically kind of with what was in the previous, but bringing it into this. So you had the two, but you see as it goes, it just has the one. Right? So just Bhaktivinoda, how expert he moves from the aspects of just the greatness of Krishna into, you know, let's say his grandeur of, you know, his controlling and his position like that into the sweetness that is there in the interaction. Right? So all these three features are there in Krishna. And all of them can happen at once, like the example given in when he comes into the arena at Mathura. All these are happening at once. Some are seeing him as death personified. Some are seeing him as, you know, the friend, the relative. Someone are seeing him as just a, you know, just some kid, you know. The gopis glorify Krishna's flute. The cowherd girl said, "O friends, whose eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of those eyes, yeah, I was thinking whose eyes then. Those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Nanda Maharaj are certainly sons? Oh yeah, okay, Krishna and Balaram. Are certainly fortunate. Yeah, because they always, you always see them talk about them together when they come. Because the one is that, I mean, it's Krishna, but it's also because he's his brother, and then that also, it goes, whatever's connected with Krishna then also becomes important. And then also that interaction, because they can be so relaxed and everything, and the gopis always talk about how the cowherd boys are so fortunate because they can be so relaxed with Krishna in front of others while they can't. They always have to be very formal with that. So, yeah.
Also there's aspect that when they speak about both sons, it's like they can speak in front of anyone.
Yes, true. Yes. As these two sons enter the forest, surrounded by their friends driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo tree, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body. Krishna's beauty and character create a festival for all women. Indeed, when the demigods' wives, flying an airplane with their husbands, catch a sight of him and hear his resonant flute song, their hearts are shaken by Cupid, and they become so bewildered that flowers fall out of their hair and their belts loosen. Now, because when they're concentrating, they keep everything together. But when they forget, then all the... Yeah. When the rivers hear the flute song of Krishna, their minds begin to desire him. And thus, the floor of their currents is broken and their waters are agitated, moving around in whirlpools. Then, with the arms of their waves, the rivers embrace Murari's lotus feet and, holding on to them, present offerings of lotus flowers.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Sama Vaitāya Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.
Hare Krishna, I have your attention. From the next Monday, 3rd of February, till after Nityananda Trayodashi, there will be no classes. After that, we resume this festival schedule, which means only morning classes. Okay, till after Gaura. But I'll send out the memos as well.
Yeah, then after Gaura Purnima, we go for about 5 weeks back to the schedule until the... No. Until the... No, that's after that. Then there's Akshay Tritiya. Then we go back to just the morning schedule. And that goes on till the cows go home.
You're supposed to go till mid-June, right?
Sorry?
Mid-June?
It means the earliest is generally is Nisringa Chaturdasi. Yes. That's the official term. But generally we go some weeks beyond that. So sometimes it may be 1 or 2 weeks, sometimes it's a month. I think one time we went about
July.
We went into July.
And,
we had 3 classes.
Yes, we had 3 classes.
It was on the rain.
It was a memorable time.
Yes.
Whether it was good memories or not.
We still remember that.
Yes. And so then we came up with this schedule from that.
Yes, we changed.
Try to get the maximum advantage in the minimum time. So we put more time in the morning.
Yes.
And
less in July.
Yeah, less in July.